Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Call to Serve, hosted by Daisy Brown. This is the season two finale with guest U.S. Army veteran Carlos Martin. And he is also the host of the Brother Station on Tribe Family Channel, Criminalized by Color. Welcome again to Call to Serve live on Tribe Family Channel. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest before I turn you over to the host, Daisy Brown. Carlos Martin, a.k.a. King Jaquel Martin, is a native of Benton Harbor, Michigan. In high school, he was athletically astute and excelled in every area of sports, from track and field to the football field. He also developed a keen interest in dramatic arts, but placed his pursuit of it on hold until he completed his service with the U.S. Armed Forces. He is here to tell his story and to share his new book. He is also the host of the new show, Criminalized by Color. This is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand, owned and operated by Beverly Black. I am your producer, and it is with an honor, privilege, and a pleasure that I bring to you Daisy Brown and her guest, Mr. Carlos Martin. Enjoy the show.
Thank you so much for that great introduction and everything, and good evening to you, and good evening to my guest. I'm so happy to have you here with us today. And
well, thank
I'm
you,
sorry. Well, welcome, 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 and congratulations on joining the family. You know, we're growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm so happy about that. My co-host has not made it in yet, and I'm not sure if he's going to join us. Hopefully he will be able to get in with us. The change of our date has caused a little bit of conflict in our scheduling, but we're going to go and do our thing anyway. So
yes, ma'am.
I'm opening the mic to you, my dear, and let's just do it.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Ms. Beverly for that amazing introduction. You would think I was a superstar the way she introduced me, but I just want to say I'm just another humble servant of God, and I just hope my story is a blessing to everyone else, and you never have to go through what I went through, but you'll be able to learn from what I went through to better not you, but your family and generations to come.
Sounds great.
A little bit about me. I'm from Benton Harbor, Michigan. I'm an Army brat. I decided to join the military. I enjoyed serving my country. It was an amazing time serving my country. I was stationed in Landstuhl, Germany, where I played semi-pro football for the Kaiserslautern Cougars and the Saarbrücken Hurricanes. And after I was done with my tour in Germany, my wife and I were stationed in Columbia, South Carolina. So this is where my book comes in. And it's a journey that I feel that God has taken me on to put me at this point to be able to be a blessing for everyone else. Because sometimes I wonder why, with all the police violence that has been going on in America that we see on social media, on the news every day, why am I still here? And that's a question that I deal with, that I fight with, because I'm wondering why I still have my life and others don't have theirs. And I'm grateful for that. So the reason why the book means so much to me is because I feel like it's a blessing to be able to speak for those who never got that opportunity and to be able to speak for the voiceless. So going into the book, it basically talks about how I was wrongfully assaulted by the police in my military uniform in front of my home. So let's start from the beginning. I was a soldier at Moncrief Hospital. I was doing a uniform inspection for PFC Colorado, which was one of my soldiers. After I finished my inspection with her, I finished up, cleaned up my work desk, and I was on my way home. Just like any other normal day, I used to be well known in the community because I used to take all the women and children, you know, their children, to my football games. They used to hold the down markers for me. So when I pull up into my neighborhood, I lived in the neighborhood of Quail Run, which is like maybe 2 miles from the Army base. there was a police officer that was in my neighborhood. What I found out was the reason why he was there was because he was out there looking for a white male flashing little kids. But, you know, it's not nothing out of the normal to have a police officer patrol your neighborhood. So as I rode behind the police officer towards my apartment, he enters the parking lot first, which was shaped like a rectangle. I followed behind him, and then eventually I entered the rectangle. Eventually we became parallel, and I acknowledged him by tipping my hat, by acknowledging him. I went, parked my car, got out of my car, walked towards my house to put the keys in the door. As I was putting the keys in the door, I hear a car peel off. So naturally, I just want to see what's going on. So I turn around to see what's going on, and I see this officer running towards me. He's like, hey, you, come here, come here. I'm like, who, me? He's like, yeah, you. I'm out here for a noise violation. I was like, okay, well, it couldn't be me, sir. I just got home. Plus, I have a police officer from the same unit that lives above me. So I know not to blast my, you know, blast my music or anything. So he said, well, give me your license and registration anyway. Now, just to remind you, I did just get back from Germany, and I lost my picture license. So what the DMV does is they give you a paper license, which is still a legal document to drive on. So I handed him my insurance. I handed him my military ID card and the paper license, which is all the things that he required of me. And when he saw the paper license, he was like, what the hell is this? And I was like, dude, if you just calm down, you can see that I'm a soldier and I just got back from Germany. And he cuts me off. He was like, you will not address me as dude. I'm a Richland County officer of the law. And I was like, well, sir, you address me by hey, you. He was like, well, that's because I don't know your name. Well, sir, I don't know your name either. Mind you, my name is on my uniform as well, you know. I'm like, I don't know your name either. And next thing I know, he slams me on the ground. He starts beating on me. He starts making all these racial comments, talking about how I'm nothing but another black statistic, how he's glad Johnny Cochran is dead, how welcome to the South. He can do whatever he wants to do when he's the law. He's going to ruin my career. You know, he called me an N-word. It's just ridiculous, you know, how this young gentleman who the crazy thing about it is our jobs are almost the same. As a soldier, your job is to protect the country. As a police officer, your job is to protect the city or the neighborhoods or the streets that you're in. So we're in the same, basically on the same line of work. So I don't understand that, you know what I mean? Why this officer would leave his training, because when you leave your training, you're no longer an officer, you're a bully. So he starts beating on me. Now the police officer, it's funny how sometimes God puts people in places right where they need to be. The police officer's mother was right there watching the officer beat on me. She runs downstairs and she gets my ex, my wife at the time, we're no longer together. She runs downstairs and knocks on the door. And she gets her and she comes outside and she runs outside. And she's like, oh my God, what are you doing with my husband? And I'm like, baby, I'm fine. I'll stay calm. I'm okay. So when I told her that, he became more upset. And he started kicking me and he took out a can of mace. And he used the whole can of mace on me. You know, the funny thing about mace is if you close your eyes, hold your breath, and it doesn't get into your pores, it won't bother you. So because I didn't react like the normal civilian would react, because I followed my military training, like when they teach you to go to the gas chamber, what to do, he became even more violent. And he thought something was wrong with me, and he accused me of being on drugs. And so he became more violent, so Tashiana ran in the house. She comes back out of the house, and she has a cell phone. Now she's taking pictures of the officer on top of me, beating me, making all these racial statements. And so the neighbors, which were women and children, started to come outside. Now, they're watching in awe of what this officer is doing to me and how he has me handcuffed. He has my left hand handcuffed, and my right arm I grabbed and I used to shield my eyes while he makes me, and I held my breath. And so he was trying to get that hand, but I was using that to protect myself, so I refused to allow him to take that hand because I would have had nothing to protect me from him and his aggressive nature. So the officer panics. I think he says something like a code like 1033, officer in distress, whatever else. I understand why his partners came to the scene the way they came to the scene because of the way he called it, right? But at the same time, as officers, you have training that you're supposed to follow. And when you get to a scene, you're supposed to assess the scene, then make a decision based off of what you see. Well, there's no way that any of these officers followed their training, because when they got there, he was like, get her, black, A, she has pictures of me. So his supervisor, his name was Deputy Joseph Clark, runs up on my ex, slams her into the car, puts her in a full Nelson, she drops her cell phone, and then he brings her arm down and he handcuffs both of her arms. She's already detained, right? After she's already detained, he picks her up by the back of the arms and slams her into the ground face first. Now, as a man, okay, you beat me up, right? But my covenant is to cover my queen. And so when you can't protect your wife, I mean, you feel worthless. You feel like everything's taken from you. I mean, I can't say what slavery felt like, but I felt as if I was a slave in that moment because I was shackled. I was being beaten. You know what I mean? I felt like everything in my humanity was taken from me, you know, and I couldn't do anything to protect my loved one. Like, I want to say this right here. I never, as a soldier, I never put my life on the line for the flag. The flag is a piece of cloth. Okay. I put my life on the line for what the flag is supposed to represent. Yeah. So either two things is happening in America. Either people are worshiping a piece of cloth, or what that cloth was supposed to represent no longer represents that anymore, and it's a lie. Because it's supposed to be liberty, freedom, equality, and justice for all. For all. But as we can see in America, that's not happening. There isn't justice for everyone. A little snippet of the book, I said, it's amazing how two people in the same state can do the same crime but get different time because the color of their skin is their VIP pass to freedom.
True.
It's funny how we still get treated. Chapter 4 of my book, it says, military or not, you're still 3/5 of a man. The judicial system has to be fixed. But before I go into that, I want to go continue on with the story, right? So they slam her into the ground. They slam me into the ground. They call EMS. EMS comes to the scene, and they were like, we should have known it was Officer Fields. And that's how Tashiana got his name. And she took note of that. And so the female officer that was my neighbor finally came home. When a female officer is on the scene, the female officer is supposed to search a female to avoid sexual harassment situations, right?
That's right.
They would not allow the female cop to search her. These men sexually harassed her in my face, and there was nothing I can do about it. So if you've ever seen the movie Crash, and it touched you, and you cried, that's a movie. I lived it, and it's two different things. That's like, you know, that's like me saying, I see the building is on fire, and I feel bad for the people inside the building. But that's a different experience for the people in the building. You know what I mean?
True. Oh, my.
And so, like, it's frustrating because we live in a society that tries to cover it. We live in a society that tries to change the objective of what is going on to continue this dirty little secret of America that still exists to this day. Right? There was something on Facebook with a white lady, and she raised her hand. And she says, how many people think white privilege isn't real? A whole bunch of white people raised their hand. She said, that's awesome. I'm glad you guys feel that way. Now, how many people want to be treated like a black person? No one in the audience raised their hand. And she says, She says, so how can you tell me that white privilege doesn't exist? If everything was equal, why wouldn't you want to be treated like a black person is treated? We claim there's no racism. You know what I mean? Yet we claim everything is equal, and it's a lie. And it's something that we have to talk about. We have to have positive controversy in these difficult, tough conversations. So back to the story. Once we found out the officer's name, I tried to get the cell phone. I said that I think there might be some new pictures in there or something. I said I think there might be new pictures in the phone because I was trying to get the phone back for evidence for them. So the officer Fields confiscated the phone. He said, I'll give you the phone back if you delete everything. I was like, hell no. Excuse my language. I was like, absolutely not. I will not delete everything because that's our evidence of what you did against us or whatever else, right? So he took the phone, he confiscated it. Now, mind you, when this happened in 2005, none of the body cameras worked, right, is what they claimed. Out of all the officers, you're going to tell me not one camera worked? Not out of all the police cars that showed up to the scene, not one of them was on recording? But I thought the recording was for the protection of you and the protection of me. So you're going to tell me in this situation, none of us was protected. I don't understand. And my question is that when it comes to protection, is how can you protect me if you fear me?
Yes, I agree.
That we have to deal with because, you know, if we talk back, it's, oh, they're aggressive. But if someone of another nature does it or another color does it, oh, it's passion. Why is that? Who came up with that determination to make it different if a black person has passion, that it's aggression and they're angry and they're all these other different things, but yet if a white counterpart does the same thing or 10 times as worse, that guy's passionate. Hey, let's take him to Burger King before, after he gets done killing people, let's take him to Burger King. Make sure he's well fed before we bring him in. How does that happen? Because these are real life scenarios that have happened. And it just baffles me. Okay, so now back to the story. As they were putting us in, the paddy wagon, the officer tells Tashiana, "We're gonna take you to the hotel." I said, "What'd you say to her?" She heard me. Now, when we got to court, he claimed the hotel meant jailhouse. But now I know as a man, I can't walk up to no woman and tell her I'm gonna take her to a hotel because that's a sexual harassment charge. I can't be like, "Oh, I meant jailhouse. That's what I meant." But that doesn't fly. First of all, you don't talk to women like that. Second of all, that's not part of your profession, and that's just disrespectful, period, to a person.
That's
period.
True. That's true. So you'll hear them say, "I'll take their away in college or their away in school or something," you know, when they refer to jail, but not a hotel.
Exactly, especially to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So the officer in the paddy wagon heard that statement, and he wrote it to He wrote a testimony, not a testimony, but he wrote a statement for us. I think I'm in church talking about a testimony. So he wrote a statement for us. Now, the amazing thing about the book, which you can find on Amazon and Kindle, it's on Amazon for $15 and it's on Kindle for $9. The beautiful thing about the book and the way I wrote the book was I wanted everyone to see the truth, right? Because when we see videos of these situations, we always have people in the peanut gallery like, well, we don't know what the officer was thinking. We don't know what happened before the camera came on. Well, what I did was I put the police statements in it from myself and Tashiana and what we said happened. Then I also included what police statements of what the officer said would happen and a couple of witnesses. And the beautiful thing about it was, after this was all said and done, I put the internal affairs statements in the book as well. So you can see where he says one thing in the police statement and a whole other thing in an internal affairs statement. So you can read it for yourself. That way it allows you to be me. The book allows you to be my ex. It allows you to be both officers so you're able to see everything from every single color. So
what is the title of the book? What is the title?
The title of the book is A War on Friendly Grounds.
Okay.
And the cover of the book is a police officer with no face on top of a black soldier with no face. And the reason why I did that was because it could happen to any of us. It ain't just about me. It's about our history and the history of America and what the things we have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I do that because I was a soldier, I used the United States flag, and the stars are bullet holes. And the reason why I chose bullet holes is because I feel like it's the new hanging. When we had the Jim Crow laws, they used to hang black people and slaves for public display, and people would come out and watch if it's like, you know, as if it was the new trend, right? Well, what's the difference
between
people being hung back in the day than now watching people be shot on the internet for public display? It's the same thing. So to me, it's the new hanging. Just my opinion.
Wow.
And so it's a very visual but powerful cover.
That is so similar to the woman who was shot the other day. That was so sad. The one that was refusing to be tased.
Yes, ma'am.
And
Sandra Bland's footage just came out. That was horrible when we actually saw the real footage of what happened.
Oh, my. That was just unbelievable.
And see, that's okay. The point of the book. It's like it's happening too often. And I feel like we're so desensitized to it. It's like, oh, got another one. Okay. So what are we going to do today at work? You know, it shouldn't take for it to happen to you for you to care.
That's true.
You know, that's like, what happened to us as a people? You know, what happened to love? What happened to us getting back to what we used to be? Where did the love go? Where did caring for other people go? Because now we'll rather record something, upload it to the internet for public display than to stop it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're more worried about getting likes on Facebook or on Instagram than we are about someone's life, someone's health, someone's, you know? Like, it baffles me. Like, okay, let's use Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey Hussle just passed away, right?
Uh-huh.
And Nipsey Hussle's slogan was, "The marathon continues," which is an amazing slogan because he's talking about the journey of us, right? But from my perspective, I believe that it's only a marathon because there's not that many people running the race. But if we all ran the race united, I think the sprint, I think it wouldn't be a marathon anymore. I think it would be a sprint. Because biblically, the Bible says man united can accomplish anything. Why are we so divided? You know? So now, mind you, this is the same police officer that beat up the young lady from Spring Valley High School. The girl that was sitting in the desk, and he slams on her head, throws her across the classroom in front of students. First of all, that's not how you treat a woman. Oh, yeah, same guy. So not only did they not do it right the first time, he was allowed to go treat someone else the same way.
Oh, what?
And traumatize her for life. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, that officer has finally been fired. The solicitor that was over my case, his name was Dan Johnson. He just got done coming down on 36 counts of fraud. He just went to prison. And now, you know, the Richland County Police Department is still under federal investigation.
Wow.
Yeah, I told you it's a lot.
Amazing, amazing. But that's protect and serve.
Oh, yeah. Now, I was in the military when all this happened. So after this happened to me and I got out on bail, you know, because we went, they took us to the jailhouse. We got booked, fingerprinted, and everything. And, you know, that's like one of the worst feelings ever, you know. And it was crazy because when I walked in, one of the brothers was like, wow, they beating the soldiers too? We know we don't stand a chance. You know, it's crazy. Because that reminds me of the Colin Kaepernick situation where they try to change the narrative and say, oh, you're disrespecting the flag. How? First of all, if you know the rules of the flag, it never required you to kneel. Second of all, if you understood the rules, they used the flag to make money. The flag was used to make money and to create patriotism and create ratings so they can make money off the flag. It was never about what the flag really represented. And the flag is so disrespected in so many different ways because people wear it for clothing materials. They do all different type of things for the flag that is against the regulations of the flag, if we really want to be technical. But not only did Colin Kaepernick take, first he was sitting down. Then he got with a soldier and asked and said, hey, how can I take a stand without disrespecting you? And he said, well, we take a knee for our fallen brothers. So that's where Colin Kaepernick started taking their knee from, right? And then they changed the narrative instead of talking about equality to you're disrespecting the flag. You're disrespecting the flag. And that's manipulation. That was manipulation because you know why we had to do that? Because we can't address the main issue. We can't address the main issue was equality. So not only did Colin lose his job, but he started his own program, which is called Know Your Rights, which is amazing. And he's teaching people to know their rights because you have two entities that don't know each other. You have the police and you have regular civilization.
Mm-hmm.
You have society, right? Excuse me, that was tongue-tied. Do we know our rights? Do we know what's supposed to happen when we get stopped by the police? Do we know what's legal and what's not legal? How do you have two people that don't know each other that's supposed to coexist? So I think it should be part of high school curriculum because high school is supposed to prepare you for the real world on what to do when it comes to law enforcement. I think law enforcement, the same way they have sexual harassment training, needs sensitivity training. I think police officers, it should take longer. You know, you shouldn't be able to become a cop in such a short time span. I think there should be some psych evaluation. I think they should have breaks because, like anybody, if you do something so many different times, you're going to become numb to it. You're not going to care as much as you cared when you first started. For an example, you have a nurse. She works at the hospital.
Hold that thought for the example because we need to take our station break and we will return with Mr. Phil Helinski right after the commercial break. So hold on.
Hello, my name is King
Jaquel
Martin. I'm a director, I'm an actor, and now I'm an author. And my genius is common because I understand the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is really never about the other person, but it's about yourself. Forgiveness is not a weakness, but it's a strength. Because what it allows you to do is it allows you to collect your thoughts. All of your emotion, it gives you a chance to write them down, to come up with a strategy to make a difference in life. And that's why I wrote this book right here. It's called A War on Friendly Grounds. And A War on Friendly Grounds is all about my life. So what happened to me was I was wrongfully jumped by 8 white officers in my military uniform in front of my home. But that one moment doesn't define my life. And that's why my genius is common, because I use that moment to be able to create all the different things I'm doing right now, such as books, movies, and impacts on other people's lives. That's why my genius is common. And I believe if you understand that today could be your last day, and you live it and make today your best day, that your genius is common too. I have a question for you. If you died today, would you give yourself an A+ on life's report card? If not, and you wake up and you're blessed to see tomorrow, you better live like it's extra credit because tomorrow's not promised. And if you can live every day like that, there's nothing that can stop your genius. That's why my genius is common. Thank you.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Undone.
You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shylight.
For 50 years, the legendary Shylights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now, here's a brand new book
from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with 2 #1 hits
and dozens of Billboard Top 10 hits.
The Shylights were forced to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
Ever wanted to get away from it all? Maybe an an inexpensive honeymoon, or even a second honeymoon, or just a mini vacation for the two of you, now you can. You can go to the Shalites home, away from home, when they're not on tour. It's called the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, where you can relax in luxurious surroundings, where the staff and all amenities are at your full disposal. Their private gated villa offers 24-hour on-property security. Dream Castle Villa is just 20 minutes away from the newly constructed International Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Enjoy incredible views of the Caribbean Sea and the Iron Shore Golf Course. The Shalites Dream Castle Villa is a relaxing, soothing, and romantic experience that's excellent for small private weddings, wedding renewals, engagements, anniversaries, or just a mini vacation for two. For reservations, visit their website at dreamcastlevilla.com or call toll-free at 888-747-9802 and see what other luxuries await you. Relax, just like the Shalites at The Shalites Dream Castle Villa, and hold on to your dreams.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
Hosted by Daisy Brown, and joining her is Mr. Phil Helinski with their guest, Mr. Carlos Martin, Army veteran. Please enjoy the show.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Phil. How are you?
Oh, a little tired. Doing some birthday celebrating here, but I wanted to get on the line for our last show of the season. But yeah, I got a little mixed up on the scheduling, but here I am. And I hope to you know, provide any anything that you need me to update for our last show here of the season. So,
well, I have some good news for you. We're going to do one more show. We're extending by popular request to allow us to do this, and thank God for our great producer and a creator of this show. And we will be on Thursday, May 30. So, 8 p.m., I will be our last show, which will allow us to do a recap and to talk about our future plans as far as going into our convention and so forth. So, Phil, say hello to Mr. Carlos Martin. And Carlos, Phil Helinski is also the president of the national president of TRIA, the Enlisted Association, and he is my co-host and my friend. So here we go. Say hello.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you, Carlos. Like I say, I'm getting in a little late, but had a little scheduling change here. But doing good. Really enjoyed working with Daisy all this time. And glad we got another show coming up. That'll get me a chance to do what I do, which is to update our guests and listeners on any veterans issues. In that, being president of a national organization, you get a lot of information that comes your way. So hope I can be of some benefit tonight.
Awesome. Well, thank you for, you know, joining us. My grandma used to say there's no time like the present, so you're right on time. And thank you for everything that you do for all the veterans.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and, you know, keeping track of everything is kind of difficult, but I've got a good person that does assist us in Washington, D.C., and gives us a lot of good updates and information, which helps me out.
I believe you're right on time, Mr. Phil, because where I wanted to go with the conversation was about veterans in America. And I feel, as a veteran, this is just my opinion, you know, that veterans aren't taken care of the way they should be taken care of. Most places don't offer military discounts, you know. A lot of veterans are homeless. I know VA is doing the best that they can, but they're so backlogged that most veterans don't get the benefits that's there for them or don't know about it. You know, there's just so many things when it comes to veterans that are available, but you know, you got to fight tooth and nail to be able to get it. And so everything that you're doing for us, I just want to say thank you for the things that you have done and the things that you do provide.
That's definitely part of our goal, to try to enlighten the veterans as to what is available to them and to assist them in helping them get those benefits. And this was a vision that Beverly had, and she and I talked about it, and she was supposed to come on as my co-host, or I was coming on as her co-host. I don't know which way it was, but then she says, oh, no, you take it by yourself. So then I reached out and said, Phil, come on. And he was my first guest, and he had such a good time that he says, when's our next show? When's our next show? So he's been hanging in there with me, and here we go. So
well, that's
how we got it started. And It's people like you who have a story to tell, and it needs to be told. And that's why I wanted to make sure that the title of your book was aired, because you kept saying, "And my book," but you
yes, ma'am.
Need to know what is this wonderful book entitled?
Yes, ma'am.
How do I find this book?
Yes, ma'am. Well, just to reiterate that, because I do say my book, I apologize to all the guests. It's called A War on Friendly Grounds, and you can find it on Amazon and Kindle. It's $15 on Amazon and $9 on Kindle.
Very good. Very good. Well, I will make sure that, you know, and I do know that you also have a show, and before we close out, I wanted to make sure that you talk about that as well. Phil, he's just coming on board with Tribe Family Channel, so we need to let him, you know, talk about what he's getting ready to do on his show so that people will know what he's doing, because he has a great story to tell. He has a lot of information. And I think that it'll be a great asset to adding to our network, our family channel. So I'm just happy about this.
Sounds great. So Carlos, can you give us a little more information then?
About the show or about the book?
Whichever way you want to go. Okay, the show.
Okay, the show. I was blessed to meet the amazing Miss Beverly, and she gave me an opportunity to host Criminalized by Color. Based off of what I went through by wrongfully getting beat up by the police and, you know, not allowing that one moment to define my life, but using that as a springboard to help and be a blessing to other people, she allowed me to have this amazing platform on the Tribe Family Channel. So I'm just ecstatic to be a part of the family. I'm ecstatic to change lives. I'm ecstatic to live in my purpose. So thank you guys for just allowing me to be a part of that. I had the amazing time interviewing from the Tallulah Nine, Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. And oh my God, it was just an amazing conversation to hear what someone else has been through, you know, when they did the first sit-in and how they did mock boards before they actually went in to do the sit-in, and just hearing his story and hearing my story and just seeing the evolution of both of our stories, it's just, I'm speechless.
Yes, and I'm glad Phil said about the show, because, you know, you're giving away all the goodies about your book, and we need a cliffhanger too. To make them go out and buy this book, because, or should I say, your book, and so don't give it all away, because I'm interested, and I know I'm going to be going out to get one. So leave us hanging somewhere.
Oh yeah, I promise you, there's so much more. That was just an event that I did an interview on Jake Tapper about, so I kind of gave you guys like a little small taste. But the book isn't just about, you know, the event. It talks about some difficult topics that we just need to do internally, externally, and how we can just look at the world. So, yeah, I left you guys a lot of gems.
Well, that's wonderful. So do you want to continue with your story, or, Phil, do you want to ask questions?
No, just go ahead and continue, Carlos. I just want to hear more.
Okay, well, not to give away all the gems, I'll just say that, you know, I was wrongfully facing 10 years in jail. I go from getting a divorce to losing everything to my mom moving in. And it's crazy when you have your own place and then your mom moves in, because then your mama want to make your house her house, but, you know, that's still mama, so you still got to follow the rules. But I went on this amazing journey to moving to California, to going to booking Ballers. So I was just on Ballers season 5, episode 5 with The Rock and Mr. Rob Wise, who wound up directing it. It was just amazing. Because the funny thing about it is, on Baller season 4, episode 10, they did a show about Colin Kaepernick. And they talked about equality and people standing up for their rights. And I was just like, oh my God, are you serious? So I went from wrongfully getting beat up by the police, facing 10 years, to now I'm on a show with The Rock at Fox Studios. And the crazy thing about Fox Studios is I still work there as a security guard. I went from being a security guard to being an extra, to being in background, to being a stand-in, to having my own trailer. So the reason why I put that out there, yeah, crazy, right?
I need to visit that trailer of yours.
You know,
that is so wonderful.
Yeah, it was a co-star, and I'm just so humbly grateful because even while I was on set, I told them who I was and what I've been through. And so they took me to the creator of Ballers, and I just paid homage to him because I was so grateful for him to tell that story on HBO with one of the top shows on HBO, if not the top show on HBO. For him to do that and tell the truth, it speaks volumes of who they are, you know, the whole production team, the whole cast, the whole crew, you know. And I was just really grateful how they represented someone like myself who has been through a traumatic experience with being assaulted by the police.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right. I wound up giving out books on set, which was crazy.
That is amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to reading it myself, I'll tell you. I have a serious vision problem, but I'm willing to read the book.
I will be working on the audio book so that way I can get the audio done as well. That's the goal. My next goal is to make sure I get an audio book, an audio version of it.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But if I could say one thing to anyone who's listening, do not let one moment define your life. You will never see a rainbow without enduring the storm, but you have to endure the storm to get to the rainbow. It's all part of the process of life. You know, I mean, in church, they have this word called testimony. But if you split that word in half, it's test and money. But if you look at the order of it, the test comes first. But you got to pass the test to get to the money, which is the happiness. Then once you pass the test, you got to share, you got to give, you got to share your story because you never know how your story is going to affect someone else's life. I just pray that my story and me being vulnerable with what I went through can be a blessing for someone else who is facing any deep, dark situation. Even if it's not the same as mine, you know, you can find everything that you need in the dark. I promise you, if you just keep moving forward.
That's very true, and those are some great words because, you know, we wonder why things happen to us, but I always say it only comes to make us stronger, you know, and there's strength in the ability to endure, because when you look back and see where you came from and what you went through to get where you are, it's nothing but blessings all the way. There's stepping stones, blessings and stepping stones. And God has a way of doing that. You know, I'm truly grateful because he's been, oh, my God, I've got a testimony myself, but we're not even talking about that. But I just want to emphasize and say that God is just so great. You know, without him, what would we do? What would we be? Where would we be? You know, and even with all that you were going through, he was still there to protect
right.
you to the point that, you know, you went through the beating, you went through the experience in the jail, you went through the experience of seeing your wife almost molested and among other things, but look at where you are now. And that's, oh my God, that is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I call it a horrible blessing because if that day never happened, I probably would still be in the army dodging bullets. you know?
Yeah.
But everything
mm-hmm.
has a purpose. And sometimes, you know, God will whisper, he'll talk, and then he'll yell, you know. And here's my thing. I'm not trying to put God on anyone. I don't care if you call him higher power, source, energy, mother nature, the earth, whatever you need to call it for you. You know what I mean? Because I want to be able to be respectful to everyone's opinion about where they come from, where they think their higher power is. I'm just telling you right now, the race isn't given to the swift, but it's given to those who can endure to the end. You got to endure it. You got to run the thing in life. You know, mm-hmm. three things happen in life. You're born. We're all going to pass away. But the question is, what do you choose to do in the meantime? Every day you wake up is an opportunity to change your future, but it's a closer day to your grave. So what are you waiting for? Be great with every breath you take. You can tell how successful you want to be with what you do in your downtime. If you don't like where you are, stop doing what you're doing in your downtime and do something different. Do what you love.
Well, that's true. And I say that, you know, we talk about history, but I don't call it history. I call it his story. And we are just cast members of his story, because that's what we have a role to play in life, and it all encompasses his story. And when I talk about his, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about my daddy, my father.
Right.
My father in heaven. So it's his story.
You know what's so crazy? So I did a book signing, right? And this guy, I have no clue who he was, but he walks up to me and he said, "Bro, you are your ancestor's dream." And I had to sit with that for a second because I didn't understand. He says, "Do you know that your ancestors couldn't read and write? Do you know your ancestors didn't have the freedom that you have? Do you know your ancestors didn't have the opportunities that you have? You are their dream. What legacy are you going to leave for the future?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, wow. Wow. We are all here. Right? We're all here based off of someone else's sacrifice.
True.
We have the freedoms, the jobs, the rights, and everything based off of what someone else is willing to give up for us to have it. We got to pay homage. Not only that, we got to set a better stage for the future.
That's true. I agree with that one. Well, I'm elated. That's all I can say.
Carlos, in case I missed it, could you give me the name of the book so I can write that down?
Yes, sir. It's called A War on Friendly Grounds. And you can find it on Amazon for $15 and Kindle for $9. And the reason why I named it A War on Friendly Grounds, because honestly, as a soldier and as a black man, I felt safer in other countries than I do at home. I feel like we're in a battle zone. I feel like being a black man in America is a war zone. LeBron James won a championship trophy, and then he moved to L.A., and then in the news, he wrote an article that said, "It's hard being a black man in America." And it's true. But what's even harder than that is getting to the root of why and being able to have those difficult conversations to be able to change that. Because we're just living in the evolution of slavery. We just have to do better as a people. So I call it A War on Friendly Grounds because this is where I live. This is where I was born. This is the country I protected. It's supposed to be friendly here, but it ain't so friendly. I feel like I'm in a battlefield every day that I walk up my door.
That's true. I agree.
So the book, again, is called A War on Friendly Grounds. The cover, you'll see a police officer with no face on top of a soldier with no face. You'll see the United States flag with the stars as bullet holes. And the reason why it's faceless is because racism is interchangeable. It could be any person. It could be me, you, anybody. And so that's why I wanted to leave it open like that.
That's true.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, good sir. I appreciate you blessing me, and hopefully the book is a blessing to you, your family, or whoever you share it with.
We are going to get ready and get off of here, even though I don't want to go.
I just want to say thank you for having me, man. It's been an amazing ride, amazing conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could join us, even though we had to change our night. And I'm not sure what effect it had on our listeners as far as, you know, audience being able to tune in. But thank God for archives, and they can listen to the show at a later time if they're not with us tonight. But it was one that I really felt that we needed to get in before the season ended. And I once again want to thank Beverly for referring and recommending you for our show, because this was something that we really needed to hear, especially with all of the violence that's going on across the country and the different problems that we're having throughout. And it just goes to show that it's not just in these little neighborhoods, but it's those who are supposed to be there to do what to prevent what's going on in the neighborhoods that are doing it themselves. It's just crazy. But we have to figure out where we're going and how we're going to get there and try to do it as peacefully as we possibly can. And unity,
right.
You know, strength and unity.
But and we have to hold ourselves accountable as people too, you know, as Black African Americans. We have to hold ourselves just as accountable, because when I went to the NAACP, Rainbow Push, ACLU, and I asked them for help, they asked me how much money was I donating.
Of course.
So,
that's the first question nowadays.
Right. We have to hold everyone's accountable. It's just not a black or white thing, but everyone needs to be accountable.
And you
but
know,
that black
and
I
noticed
topic
that,
has to be addressed.
Yes, that's true. I notice in a lot of these military organizations, you know, you try to recruit people, and the very first thing, instead of seeing what they can do together with us, coming on board with us, they want to know, well, what do you have to offer me? You know, come on and join up and let's do this thing. Let's get it together. Let's do it together, because there's strength in numbers, you know, but you can't do it by yourself.
Right. And please stop judging people's activism, especially if you're not doing anything yourself. It's always easier to be in the crowd than to actually be in the game playing. But if you feel like there's something that you feel in your heart how it could be done better, take the step and do it. Make a change.
Yes.
Because you're not the only person that feels that way.
That is so true. Well, I think we need to kind of close off, but I just want you to know that I've truly, truly, truly enjoyed having you on here, and I will be listening to your show. I want to once again welcome you to our channel, to our family, and I'm looking forward to hearing some good things from you and about you. Congratulations on your movie deal.
Thank you so much. Things are happening.
Yes, congratulations. Rock, I love him, you know, though he doesn't use that name any longer, but I love him. And
he's amazing.
So
amazing person.
You're in great company as far as I'm concerned. So,
I don't have the dates for season 5, episode 5, when it airs or whatever else. But I just do want to give a special shout out to Ms. Beverly for the opportunity to host Criminalized by Color. I appreciate being a part of the Tribe Family Channel. And please tune in. Please support. Please support, you know, everything that they have going on, because they really want to get out there and make a difference. And we can do it together.
That's true. Phil, do you want to say anything before we close out?
No, just thank our guests for coming on and spending some time with us. And, you know, I jumped in here when I could. So I hope to hear more from you as time goes on.
Okay, and I want to wish everyone a happy and safe Memorial Day. And I'm being honored that the president, Mr. Zelensky, will be joining us here in Baltimore. Next Sunday, we're doing a memorial service for our chapter members, and he will be participating in the Arlington ceremony for Memorial Day. And I once again want to wish everyone a happy, safe Memorial Day, even, and remember what Memorial Day really represents. You know, some people are going to be doing cookouts and things like that, but stop and pray and thank God for where we are now and for those who have made the sacrifice and that are no longer with us.
Thank you for tuning in to Call to Serve, and we want to wish you all a happy Memorial Day upcoming. And also, please tune in to another special closing episode on May 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 Mountain, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. We also invite you to listen to Criminalized by Color on June 2nd. It airs on the first Sunday of the month, and this episode, June 2nd, Carlos Martin's guest will be the world-renowned Charles Wright, founder of the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band. So be sure to tune in, and you can listen to Call to Serve via the archives at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Good night and God bless.
Yes, this is America, my home, sweet home. God bless America.
Everybody say,
God bless America.
Let America.